Here's Chick on stories we're following for you on Robinhood Radio. We'll start off with the COVID-19 cases in our immediate tri-state area. Locally in Northwest Connecticut, Falls Village, none. Canaan, 5. Cornwall, 6. Kent, 7. Norfolk, 11. New Milford, 272. Salisbury, 12. Sharon, 15. And Torrington, 510. In Dutchess County, as of 4 p.m., for our local towns, Amenia, less than 5. Clinton, less than 5. Dover, less than 5. Milan, less than 5. Millbrook, Millerton, and Northeast, all less than 5. Pawling, less than 5. Pawling Village, less than 5. Pine Plains, less than 5. Red Hook, less than 5. Red Hook Village, less than 5. Rhinebeck, 7. Rhinebeck Village, less than 5. Stanford, less than 5. And Tivoli Village, less than 5. So you can see those Dutchess County numbers really have been corrected. So meetings coming up this week in our tri-state region, coming up tonight. The Sharon Housing Authority has their regular meeting at 5 p.m. Also, the Board of Finance in Sharon has their meeting at 7 p.m. In Kent, the Board of Finance has their monthly meeting at 7 p.m. And in Cornwall, the Board of Selectmen have their meeting coming up at 7:30. Once again, we remind you, these meetings are remote, and you have to go to the town's websites to get the information. Now, coming up on Wednesday, there is a meeting in Cornwall, Connecticut, of the Board of Education at 4:15. The Sharon Town Hall will be the location of the Transfer Station Building Committee. That will happen at 5:30 on Wednesday. The Village of Millerton will have their next regular board monthly meeting. That will be June 17th, and that will be at 6 p.m. Also coming up on Wednesday, the 17th, in Sharon, the Conservation Commission meets at 6:30. The Region 1 ABC Committee has a special meeting on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Coming up on Thursday in Cornwall, the Board of Finance meets at 7 p.m. There's a town board meeting coming up in Pine Plains on the 18th at 7 p.m. as well. In Kent, the Highway Department will be applying oil and stone treatment to various roads tomorrow through Thursday. Drivers are warned to expect short delays or detours. The roads to be done include all or portions of South Commons, Saddle Ridge, Bulls Bridge, Highland, Camp Slat, and Gear Mountain. Taking a look at some statewide news throughout our region. In a story in this morning's Republican American by Bridget Ruthman, in New Milford, police have identified the two men believed to have drowned in the Housatonic River last week. Divers from New Milford, Brookfield, and State Police and Newtown Underwater Research and Rescue were involved in the search and recovered the two men, ages 21 and 24, identified yesterday as Alexander Osorio Pedrez and Luis Hernandez Cuello, both from Bronx, New York. Both were taken to the Office of Chief Medical Examiner for further examination. Governor Ned Lamont has signed a Police Accountability and Transparency Executive Order, announcing that he signed that after it comes after the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. There is a use of force policy now that requires troopers to de-escalate situations when possible before using force, troopers to provide a verbal warning when possible before using deadly force, troopers to exhaust all other reasonable alternatives before resorting to deadly force, troopers to intervene to stop another law enforcement officer from using excessive force, and to report any such use to a superior in writing. It will prohibit troopers from shooting at to or onto moving vehicles unless the occupants of the vehicle pose a deadly threat by means of other than vehicle use. That includes force of matrix. Troopers are to report the use of all force, including drawing a firearm on another civilian. And Lamont wants more community involvement, which will include dictating a community liaison trooper to each troop in the state. Meanwhile, the state of Connecticut is preparing for indoor dining to resume. Connecticut restaurants are getting ready to start serving customers indoors on Wednesday. The ban on indoor dining will be lifted, but things will look a very bit different. Customers will order by taking a picture of a QR code, and menus can be downloaded on phones. The days of touching and sharing menus may be over in the state. Inside, tables at all restaurants will have to be rearranged to reduce capacity. Many restaurants will be requiring customers to make reservations. Meanwhile, public pools are getting open in Connecticut as part of Phase 2 for this summer. The summer begins with a splash Wednesday, many pools around the state are set to open as part of Phase 3 in Connecticut's reopening plan. Many public schools that are opening around the state are following those state guidelines. In a story in yesterday's Republican American, New Yorkers who fled when the virus spiked are still living in our county. Litchfield County has always been a top destination for New Yorkers, whether it be on the weekends or during the summertime. But when the coronavirus forced them to be cooped up inside their tight living spaces, New Yorkers came to Litchfield County in droves. In Salisbury, according to Elise Harney, owner of Elise Harney Real Estate since 1987, she said New Yorkers consumed the rental market in the northwest corner early in the pandemic. Elise Harney Real Estate's direct area of Salisbury, Lakeville, and Sharon saw rental transitions more than double through May, 59 compared to last year's 29 at this time, according to data from Smart MLS, a state real estate company and consulting firm. Julie King, an agent at William Pitt Sotheby's International Realty in Washington Depot, said most New Yorkers early on looked for short-term rentals, but they could stay for several months. Closings across Litchfield County, by the way, since April 1st, have consumed a 10% race from New Yorkers, according to data from Smart MLS. That rate is up 2% since March and up 3% since January. In Columbia County, as businesses reopen and office work resumes, antibody testing has emerged as the newest frontier in the fight against the coronavirus. The Columbia County Department of Health partnered with Columbia Memorial Health to perform 1,000 rapid tests, more commonly known as antibody tests, on county residents. The 1,000 antibody test will be used to obtain an estimate of asymptomatic Columbia County residents who may have developed antibodies to the SARS-CoV-2 virus, more commonly known as COVID-19 or coronavirus. According to the Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for the Columbia County Department of Health, antibody testing, which shows whether a person has been exposed to COVID-19 and subsequently produced an immune response, will give county health officials a better picture of the virus has spread since the beginning of the pandemic. Columbia County announced its first case of coronavirus nearly 3 months ago on March 20th. Well, some local sports are back in New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced low-risk youth sports will be permitted during Phase 3. The Capital District region, which includes Columbia and Greene counties, is slated to enter Phase 3 tomorrow. They approved the low-risk sports and includes baseball, softball, gymnastics, field hockey, crew, and cross-country. Those activities can resume July 6, and spectators will be limited to two per child, according to the governor's office. Some families were disappointed to see soccer did not make the list. Rip Van Winkle Soccer Club President Patricia Gibson said the recreational summer soccer program is open to youth age 4 to 18 and primarily serves local residents, she said, and they were very disappointed they were not on the list. Well, you know, we do have an election going on. That's right. There's a presidential primary in New York. Joe Biden is sure to be the Democratic nominee against Donald Trump. It won't be the most pivotal race when registered party members vote this month. Dutchess Republicans in the 19th Congressional District will make their party picks for who will run for the House of Representatives seat against incumbent Democrat Antonio Delgado. Dutchess Democrats in both the 18th and 19th District will be determining who they want to represent them at the Democratic National Convention. Independents and Green Party voters will have choices to make in Dutchess County court judge races, and the Serve America Movement's 9th Judicial District voters have a state committee to choose as well. Well, it was a big day on the Tappan Zee. Oops, the Governor Cuomo Bridge. On his father's 88th birthday, Governor Cuomo presented a gift in his honor that will be enjoyed by residents of the Hudson Valley and beyond. The bike and pedestrian path that spans the Governor Mario M. Cuomo Bridge, after much anticipation, the 3.6-mile shared youth path linking Tarrytown and South Nyack opened yesterday afternoon. Cuomo held a ribbon-cutting ceremony to celebrate. A sculpture sits at the Tarrytown entrance to the bicycle and pedestrian path that opened the Governor Mario Cuomo Bridge on June 15, 2020. Cuomo said the path will help local economies on either side of the bridge, which he said have been a draw for tourists. Matthew Driscoll, executive director of the Thruway Authority, said there's been, quote, a tremendous amount of interest, end quote, in the path's anticipated opening. Information about local businesses will be available along the path, helping spur local economy. In Massachusetts, the select board in Stockbridge, with new member Patrick White already sworn in following his election victory over the incumbent Terry Flynn, has named Chuck Cardillo as chairman. Cardillo is serving a second stint as a steering ship of the government. He was chairman from May 2015 to May 2016, the third year of his first term of the select board. And news out of Tanglewood, Massachusetts. That's right, Tanglewood, with the regular season canceled because of COVID-19. Boston Symphony Orchestra announced yesterday details of an ambitious online festival featuring many of the artists originally scheduled to appear in person, plus other notables, archival concerts, and programs recorded abroad. The festival will run from July 3rd to August 23rd and will consist of both audio and video streams, some free. The content, some of which had been previously announced, in arranged six series. They'll range from the archival BSO concert to recitals to newly recorded in Tanglewood's Linder Center, especially for the festival. The players range from Tanglewood favorites like pianist Emmanuel Axe and Garrick Olson. Both had been retained from the original programming to debut artists. Other programming will present BSO members and past Tanglewood Music Center students in concert. Educational programs and a Tanglewood Learning Center series will include a Beethoven celebration for the 250th anniversary of his birth. Our business brief is underwritten by Morgans at the Interlaken, interlakenin.com. You'll also find them on Facebook, and by Salisbury Bank, salisburybank.com. After a very rocky start, the Dow Jones Industrial 30 wound up at 25,763.16, up 157.62. The NASDAQ wound up the day at 9,726.02, and the S&P 500 at 3,066.59. We'll take a look at the tri-state forecast. That'll come your way in just a few moments.